in a skier surgeon port tooth. And it comes from the book of Ezekiel, the 9th chapter, the 1st through the 7th verse. And our reading scripture was 1 Peter 4th chapter, the 17th verse. And as we started last week talking about this skilled surgeon, because Ezekiel is ripe with some of the same prophecies Jeremiah had prophesied, and that's of the new covenant, that God giving of the new covenant. And that new covenant is a circumcision of the heart in which Jesus Christ makes that covenant with us. And he's that skilled surgeon wherewith he sends the Holy Spirit unto us. That 9th chapter, 1st to the 7th verse, I'll read it again. He cried out in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate, which lied toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. They went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereof he was to the threshing hole of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst of the city. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary. Begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And I told you that this is as it is today, that the word of God is coming, and it's coming mightily as the judgment of God falls in this end time, in the latter days. We're in the end of days, and God has marked his people with a seal. And I told you that seal was the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that he places within us. And that seal illuminates. It gives us light. It gives us understanding. It's all through and by the word of God. And as God is making you a part of his family, it makes you better understand the trials, the tribulations, and what we're going through at this time, and what the body of Christ is going through at this time. It also gives you understanding of what's happening to the people in and of the world, so that we would see, we would perceive and understand, and wouldn't be caught up in this. Now, as this surgeon, I told you, that was going to make this incision, and what he was going to do, he was going to first anesthetize us. In other words, he was going to give us something, he was going to clean us up, and I talked about that last week. But that word continuously clean us. But what it is, it's by faith that we receive this understanding, this light of illumination. It's by faith we receive this understanding. And if we're looking at Hebrews, the 11th chapter says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation of the title deed of the things hoped for, being proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith is perceiving as real facts what is not revealed to the senses. That's in an English or amplified version, and I'm going to break the King James down version for you. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that word substance, we look at that word substance, and the substance is something that is an underlying structure. It's an underlying structure. And that underlying structure is Christ. Everything is upon Him, the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God, is built upon Him. And when we begin to see Him, we begin to understand the Scriptures, because all of the saints of old saw Jesus Christ. Without seeing Jesus Christ, you can't understand the Scripture. And those Scriptures that's based upon Him reveals who He is, reveals what He is, that He's the same God of the Old Testament. He's the essence. That word substance could be the essential essence of what God is. He is God bodily. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Him. The essence, that substance, that Word conforms and makes Jesus Christ. He's the Word that was made flesh. So to get this essence, we have to have the Word in us, understanding His Word. That's what gives us faith. That's what gives us faith, because reading His Word, in every word of God, is the truth. And that's how we should live. And that's what gives us everlasting life. That's what gives us eternal life. Now, faith, as I was saying, is that embodiment of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh that came to dwell in us. How do we get this faith? How do we get this faith? It's by hearing the Word of God. It's by hearing God's Word. You remember I was telling you about the sower soweth the seed. There were a number of us that were predetermined. In other words, God had predetermined us that He was going to save these. He was going to save a certain number, and that they would hear His effectual call. That's according to Romans 8:28-29. And we know that God had chosen us from the foundation of the world that we should believe. That's the assurance of the Word, that we read that in the Word and we know His Word is true. It says in Romans, the 4th chapter, starting with the 10th chapter, starting with the 14th verse, it says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The same way in which Abraham believed God, the same way in which Ruth believed God, the same way in which all of the saints believed God, and that was through the hearing of His Word." We've noticed throughout the Word of God that the Word came unto me. The Word of the Lord came unto me. It was the spoken Word coming unto these people and telling them what God had said. And God is in all of creation, and that's why the grace of God has been revealed to all men. That's the way Noah was saved, by grace, by believing God. By believing God. That's the only way we can be saved. Now, in the end times, as I told you, as we're in this end time, the manifestation points and makes the clarity of it that this promised Redeemer that God had promised way back in Genesis is Jesus Christ. That's the one whom we should believe on and believe in. And He says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, who had believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Hearing by the Word of God. Now, it says, they had not all obeyed the gospel. The ones who had not obeyed the gospel are the ones who had not heard the gospel. Now, that kind of begs to unwrap that a little bit. If they have all heard, or they have all been called, and if the Word had been preached, some did not receive the Word, just as in church. People come in, amen, you all week. And they hear what you're saying, but they're not doing that. That means they didn't receive what you say because they'll leave right out there. I don't care what that preacher says. I'm going to do this. They're determined in their own self that there's a way that seemed right to them, and that man's ways are right in his own eyesight. But the end thereof is death because he's not believing what he heard. So you can hear and not have ears to hear because God has to circumcise your ears. He has to come in and give you a heart to believe, as was those in the book of Deuteronomy. So it's a lot of people in the church that won't be saved and hear the word of God all the time because they're not doers of the word. The word doesn't take root in their lives. There are three different applications of those that the word was sown unto them, but they lose the word. The word doesn't take root in their lives. The word is not assimilated to become their life-giving force. God has to give you a heart to believe, and that what gives you the ability to will and do. That's why those that are not led by the Spirit of God are not the sons of God. They are carnal and led by their fleshly lust and by the making provisions for the flesh. They're not mortifying the deeds of the body because that's all they think about is self and not God. They had not been programmed to follow God. This surgeon has to implant this spirit in them to lead them and guide them into all truth. And as they walk in the word of God, they receive more light and a more illumination. One preacher, Jeremiah, said, dig up your fallow ground. See, some people come in so hard-hearted, so mean, so bitter, the word doesn't penetrate their hearts. That's why God has to bring you to God in sorrow, to God in repentance. He has to bring things in your life to you to see your vileness, your lack, your need of God. You have to get that ready for the word to be sown, where the word would convict you of sin and show you that it's you. That word needs to be soaked in. And the only way you can fertilize that word is with prayer, with Bible study, and seeking after God. So then what happens, it says, if that word is sown there, and if you see what you are, it brings about repentance in your life. You see, these people, you don't see Ezekiel preaching repentance to these people that God had sealed some. That's replica of the grace of God. That's representative. It's God's unmerited favor that these people were like Cornelius was. They were trying to do right as by what they've heard of God. And God sealed them or gave them ability to do this. He met some disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were just like these people were. They were sighing and mourning and crying for what had happened in the city, that Jesus had been crucified. And they were worried, but they were good people, but they didn't understand the scriptures. They didn't know who Jesus was. They couldn't see. And as they were walking, Jesus joined himself unto them and walked with them a great distance. But what he had to do after expounding all these things to them, it says in the book of Luke, the 24th chapter, the 45th verse, it says, then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. You see, it's a lot of y'all read the word of God. And you read it. Some of us can memorize the word of God. But it hadn't become a part of us because when you hear that word, it comes first nature to you, not second nature, first nature. Second nature is, oh, I thought to do that, or something told me. You need to get to the point where you're listening at that small, still voice, where you're listening at God before you get in trouble, before you make those mistakes. A seasoned Christian, when he hears God, he makes the God choice. It's like Peter after the day of Pentecost, when he had received his power, it gave him a certain boldness to preach and teach the word of God to where he no longer was a disobedient follower. And when they said, didn't we strictly command you not to preach in this man's name? He said, I don't know about this or that. He says, but I know it's better to obey God than man. And see, it's got people right now, they obeying God and not man. And they're rising. They're becoming wiser and wiser. But it's got people in the church that are going backwards. That they're listening at the spouses, their children, other people, other religions, other denominations, other things, and they are regressing in Christ because they hadn't been born. That's why some fell away, because the word did not receive the root in their heart, and they love darkness rather than light. See, a surgeon, he can do certain things, but Jesus, this surgeon, he don't work on patients and it fail. He hasn't had a rejection. You can't resist the will of God. Who had resisted the will of God? So if you believe on Jesus Christ, there's no way you can be lost. You got surgeons in this world that work on people in some way or another. Their body rejects that liver. Their body can reject that heart. Their body can, but Jesus will never reject you. He that cometh unto him, he shall never lose. He'll never reject you if you call upon him and believe upon him in faith. See, that's why you can't tell me about Jesus. I know about Jesus. When somebody else can tell you about Jesus, you don't know Jesus. See, that was the seven sons of Sceva. They were doing works and they cast out devils. But when the devil come in out, he says, now Paul I know and Jesus I know. You see, it's a lot of Christians go around telling people what the Word of God say, and they don't believe it themselves. It's a lot of preachers preaching about Jesus, and they're not living like Jesus says to do. And that's what's happened. We don't actually believe what we say, and some of us, we're hypocritical. And he's going to weed them out. That's why he says, you first start in my sanctuary. Start first at the elder people, at the older ones that have been in this foolishness and going on, bringing it into my church. Because they'll lead the ones astray that's coming in the church. They'll lead the younger ones astray. You get rid of the Judas goat, and then you can teach those others. But some old dogs, you can't teach new tricks. Because they're comfortable. And that's what Jude was talking about. Contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. But it's some old men, the old ones who had crept in unaware, praying in the spirit, praying and calling upon Jesus' name. Watch it. These are fallen ones, and they hadn't progressed any in the Lord. And if some have progressed in the Lord, that'll lead you astray. In the book of Mark, we were talking about that, the fourth chapter, about the sower that had sown the seed that fell upon the different grounds. But see, as I was telling you last week about the guy that did this operation, I met him before he did the operation. I had confidence in him, and he told me what to expect. He told me what to do. And I followed that closely. If we would listen at what Jesus said, God will reveal the Son unto you. He'll reveal this surgeon unto you. And he would tell you, I'm going to give you another comforter, and he's going to come in my name. And he's going to lead you and guide you in all truth. And when he makes this surgery in you, then you'll be led by the Spirit of God, and you'll do those things, and you'll grow. And that weakness part that he took out of me, he cut it and he threw it away. And he repaired me. God's going to come in and he's going to remove the remission of sins. He's going to remove all that stuff. He's going to plant his word in you. And if you listen at that word, you follow that word, and it's up on good ground, it's going to produce fruits. Some several fold, some a hundredfold. It's up to you there. Are you quenching the Spirit? Are you grieving the Spirit? But the surgeons could do his work. But watch this surgeon. You remember I told you he had never lost a patient? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So that's why some people say, well, I just don't feel this. You probably don't have the Spirit, though.
See, because you're still in your rebellious self. I've been in the church and sometimes I feel like this. The Spirit blow where it listed. In other words, the Spirit moves upon us. But see, what we have to do is allow the Spirit to move. We have to crucify self. We have to die to those urges. I could want a desire to lose weight all I want to. But until I stop eating, that operation is not going to take effect. I could know all the things that they say in that book. But if I have something to empower me, something to give me a desire and a hope, then I can walk and accomplish that goal. Well, the Spirit is that faith looking at Jesus Christ. We steadily beholding Jesus Christ and keep our focus up on Him. And don't focus on the water. Don't focus on the waves. We won't sink. We won't fall into the troubles of life. The problem with Peter is he took his eyes off Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, starting at the 6th verse, it said, "And when all these things have come upon you, the blessings and cursings which have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and shall return to the Lord your God and obey His voice according to all that I command you today, you and your children with all your mind and with all your heart, with all your being, then the Lord God will restore your fortunes and have compassion upon you and will gather you again from all the nations where which He had scattered you. Even if any of you dispersed are in the uttermost parts of the heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there will He bring you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And He will do you good and multiply you above your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart." In other words, you've been through life. He's done blessed you. Some of the cursings have fell upon you. It's according to the way you have been living. And you can't tell by cursings and blessings sometimes. That's not an accurate barometer. That's what happened with Job's friend. They was judging with what happened with Job as a barometer of Job's faithfulness to God. These things had befallen Job because God allowed them. He hadn't crossed the borders of God. He hadn't crossed the Word of God. So we have to be careful with that also. That's why we have to get this understanding from God to be able to walk and hear and see, because we don't lean onto our own understanding. We don't trust our own understanding because some of us are childlike in understanding. But the Lord says He'll circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants. So that's why I committed my children to God, and you have to learn to let go. If I had committed to them to God, I can't run their lives. I have to leave that up to God to run their lives. I can't dictate what they do or whatever. I have to trust that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him if I live right. So I have to live with that circumcised heart. And He's going to do that. That's the confidence His Word gives me, because it says that, and we believe His Word. He says, "To the Lord your God with all your mind and with all your heart and with all your being, that you may live." Now, that all is complete, the whole thing, not sometime. You cause other problems for people when you're wishy-washy, when you're unstable, when people can't count on you. That's a bad character. That's a flaw that God's trying to clean up in some of us. And it's hard. And you know what? It learns you not to have trust or confidence in men. Some people you can count on and some you can't count on. But those you can't count on, you definitely say, well, they don't have the Spirit of God, or they're not full of the Spirit. Some people you never can trust. They could be in the church 20 years and they still childlike in understanding. Don't trust. Look, he may be a good brother and everything, but he just ain't all there. That may be the way God designed him. Now, don't distance yourself, but you be careful with him. You understand? There are different levels of understanding. There are different levels of walking in God. We have to be careful there. You have to know thyself. It says, where were they? As we do that walk, that you may live with God, that as he opened up that understanding, he said, God will not put all these curses upon you that he put upon your enemies, and he'll put them upon your enemies and those that hate you and persecute you. So during that time, these people were going through a lot in Jerusalem. A remnant was saved. The remnant in Babylon was saved. They were all having problems. Some of the younger Christians or some of the immature Christians probably perished. But see, they didn't lose their soul. They stayed obedient unto God. You don't know what's God's decision in a matter. That's where some of the Word of Faith churches or some of the churches that have it, we see that a lot of God's servants were marred. In other words, they were killed. They were destroyed. But you have to stand up on God's Word during that time. That God's protecting you. Though he slay you, yet you shall see God. So don't give up that part of integrity in God. The surgery is working. The surgery did work. He's the author and the finish, but life and death is in his hand. So it's better to not fear death, but to fear him who can destroy the soul, body, and spirit in hell. So don't refuse God. Don't compromise God. It would be better sometime to dwell in the corner of the house than in a house with a brawling woman. So don't stay in a situation where God's not leading you to stay. You have to set those perimeters and say, this is the way I'm going to walk. Don't compromise with the world. You compromise that integrity. Other people not going to follow a henpecked man. God don't want that man to lead in his church. He says if he can't rule his own house, he can't rule the house of God. Because your character, you can't lead other men, and you shouldn't have sons to lead them in that direction. You should realize those things and ask God to strengthen you where you're weak. So we have to see that God leads us, but he gives us an understanding. That's why he said it's better for some men that they don't matter. See, we have to understand how God's leading us. But if he opened your eyes so you could understand these things, you won't repeat these same mistakes. He gives you opportunities. As he opened up the understanding, he marks those. In the book of Romans, that the mark of, it's going to leave a scar on you where the surgeon operates on you a lot of times. He can put different things where you can't see that mark. God seals us and we can't see that mark. Sometimes other people can see it. We can see the Spirit. We can see Spirit-filled lives. If you are a Spirit-filled Christian. He said, by their love you shall know that they are my disciples. If you have the love of God, others can see that love. That's something that can't be hidden. Book of Romans, 4th chapter, 11th verse says, he received the mark of circumcision as a token of evidence and seal of righteousness, which he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So that he was to be made the father of all who truly believe, though without circumcision, and who thus have righteousness, right standing with God imputed to them, credited to their account. In other words, Abraham did not receive this physical circumcision and then faith. Abraham believed God and then God had him circumcised. Right? So if you believe God, if you start trusting and believing in his word, then you receive that spirit. See, that one was lacking in the disciples of John the Baptist, you remember. They believed the repentance that John preached. And Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? See, in other words, have you looked to Jesus? Have they told you of this Christ? That's why he rebaptized them and told them to receive the Spirit, because they had to get to believing in Jesus Christ to receive the Holy Spirit. That was the object, and not just repentance. See, repentance, Peter says in the book of Acts, repent. In other words, we do have to stop sinning. We have to turn from God. I told you it was a complicated operation, which the people and the preachers think teach it to people as though it's simple. And that's why the churches are so worldly today. Because they say, just say you accept Jesus or you believe in Jesus or say this prayer and you're saved or whatever. And the people sitting up in the church, some of the church people are the worst sinners there are, because they're not in fear and trembling looking unto God. As I told you in the book of Hebrews, it says, laying aside every weight and sin that's besetting us from this race. That forgetting about the doctrines of baptism and laying on of hands, let us go on to perfection. In other words, study the word and see what the word's saying. So if somebody baptized you in the name of Jesus, you believed in Jesus Christ, you believe Jesus died for your sins and everything, is that a full gospel church where they preaching you have to be then repented also? See, you could be in that church for many years, baptized in Jesus' name, believing he died for your sins, but you hadn't stopped sinning. You hadn't turned from sin. You still lying, and you lied to other people in church. You like Ananias and Sapphira, you lie to God in your giving and your doing of God. All these things hinder you from receiving the Spirit of God, because he's not going to dwell in an unclean spirit, in an unclean body. He's not going to put that spirit in a body that's not go off and do it. Because once he does that operation, once that surgeon does that, your body is no longer yours. It's his body. You know ye not that your body is the temple of God? Now you can't do with that body what you want to do. Once he works on you and places it in, your life is no longer your life. You have to lose your life. That's the only way you could save that life. It's now you live to do the will of God. Because you trust and believe in him. You didn't met the man. You didn't met the man. The man Christ Jesus. That's who you believe on. That he's the Son of God. He's a man just like that walked this earth. And that if you betray him, you betray the Son of God. So if me and you brothers and sisters in the church, what you do to me, you do to God, right? That's why you pray for your brothers and sisters. If you come into church and lie to me, you're not actually lying to me. You're lying to God. That's why Ananias and Sapphira fell dead. Didn't it? What did Peter say? Everybody else was putting their tithes and offerings in. They came in, didn't put the right tithes and offerings in. And Peter looked at her. You ain't lying to me. You lying to God. That's why it says, what you do to the least of these of mine, you do it to me. That's why when it says, blessed are you when they persecute you for all manner of, and do all these things to you. They're doing it to the Christ in you that they see. That's who they're doing it to. That's why I say, you don't understand about religion. They didn't understand. When you opened up your eyes and he opened up that understanding, then you start walking with power. You start having that spirit of fear. You're not walking around here scared of your wife, scared of your husband, scared of your children, scared of the people at work, scared of other people of other religion. You open up and you testify. You speak boldly as Peter spoke. He hadn't given us a spirit of fear. If you ain't had the operation now, we can tell. When they met Aquilas and Priscilla and they were talking, and they explained to them more perfectly the way of God. When Apollos was preaching, he had a great oratory skill, but he lacked something. He lacked the Spirit. You have to have that Spirit. He'll give it to you. Romans 2:28-29 says, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Uh-oh. What does that do? That kill all these preachers talking about Israel. See, you Old Testament. We're talking the New Testament in his blood. So he that, this is Paul saying, he that is a Jew is not one that's a Jew outwardly, physically. Circumcision can't make you a Jew or not a Jew. Because to be a child of Abraham, Abraham was called the father of faith before he was circumcised. Right? So Paul says, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is one outward in the flesh. It's not the cutting off of anything else. And in other words, circumcision doesn't make you a Jew. See, that was an Old Testament type and shadow of the circumcision of the heart that God has to do. That new covenant that he makes with many. That new covenant where his blood is shed. Where his blood was shed. The body was broken. That's the circumcision you have to have. That's that surgery. He says, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. Inside. And circumcision is that of the heart, of the mind, of the way of thinking. So you have to have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus. You have to have the renewing, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See this washing and cleansing by the word of God. Not in the letter, but in the spirit, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So what were we talking? That see, we're talking a circumcision here that Jeremiah was telling you about this new covenant. Ezekiel says that he was going to give you a new heart. That he had found you in an unstable condition, that you were going and headed to death. But he had washed you and cleansed you and put you on the right road. See, this is something he does. He's the author and the finisher. I could see if Christ not working in your life. If you're in Christ, then he gives you understanding and a discernment of who to be with and who not to be with. He'll show you the ones in church not to have close fellowship with. Paul said, if a man be a fornicator, no, not eat. Now, he's talking about a brother. He's not talking about people out there in the world. He's talking about somebody in church that's not living right. Don't run with that brother out there in the world. He said, no, it's not even to eat with him. Because people could think that you and him are close buddies. That you and him have like spirits. No, we don't either. He's in the church, but eventually he's going to get chewed down if he don't repent. If he don't change. That's why Paul and them was talking, told him about the one that was going with his father's wife that was in the church. We have the church is not, you don't see church discipline today. They're not disciplined in the church. And they're not preaching on sin. But see, that surgeon, sin cuts it out. The word of God cuts those cancers out. It removes all that. It cuts to the marrow of the bone, to the discerning of the spirit. He can even tell the intentions of your heart. That's what happened to the Pharisees. It says Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. See, you don't want nobody reading that part of your mail that you're talking to them or whatever, and they know what's on your mind. Somebody ever come up to you to borrow money that's in a bad shape and you say, well, look, go ahead and get to the heart of the matter. You know why? Because their characteristic is, I don't see you unless you want something. You don't care how I am. You don't care what's going on. You came to borrow $10 or $20. Oh, here it is. Go. I know what's on your mind. Philippians 3:3 says, for we Christians are the true circumcision. That's what Philippians says. We Christians are the true circumcision who worship God in spirit and by the Spirit of God and exalt and glory and pride ourselves in Jesus Christ and put no confidence or dependence on what we are in the flesh and on outward privileges and on physical advantages and exterior appearances. That's why I say sometimes don't look at being blessed or what you have. As whether you're saved or not. Some of the richest people feel that they are wealthy, don't have a dime to their name. But as long as you got Jesus, you're wealthy. You wealth, it's not on what you possess, it's on who you possess. That's what this is about. The widow, she didn't put in but two mites, but she had put in more than all the Pharisees had. It's because it was her spirit of giving. See, that's why when he met the Samaritan woman, he told her, and she said, we know we must worship in this, and talking about Jerusalem and worshiping in there, where you worship. A lot of people say, well, this is my church, and they talk about some big fabulous building. They talk about some nice preacher or something. But Jesus said there's a day coming when the true worshipers of God, they'll worship him in spirit and in truth, not in this mountain here only. But wherever it is, if you worship in Jesus, in spirit and truth is the only way you can be a true worshiper of Christ. That coincides with what Paul says in Philippians here, doesn't it? Word for word. It lines right up that we're those true worshipers of God. Don't care what I got. You can't dictate that by what type vehicle I'm driving or where I live, what condition I am. I might have to crawl on my hands and feet. But if I got Jesus, I'm still in good shape. He tell me, if I got problems with my hands, eyes, if they even gouged out, it's better to enter heaven that way. See, we a world that lives by sight. But see, the Christians live by faith. That's what he gives us. He gives us. That's the substance. That's what we, the essence of Jesus Christ is placed in us. We know who we believe and we know what we believe. Colossians 2 and 11. Colossians 2 and 11. We're still talking about this surgeon here. Because that surgeon gives you a peace and a joy. Can't be taken away. Can't be taken away. Up early in the morning, I talk with Sister Harry. We was talking about it's supposed to be raining or whatever. And she said, I'm trying to make it there early past so I won't get wet or whatever. So I'm trying to be there, and then I'll go to the library down the street or whatever to let you in to make sure. See, because you wake up with your mind on Jesus. You wake up looking, how can I do and glorify God? How can I hurry up and meet Christ? Abraham woke up early that morning and took Isaac to sacrifice. He wasn't thinking about Abraham. You see, you have to think about God. Let that be your utmost thought. That's the preeminent thoughts in your mind. How can I please God today? How can I serve him? Colossians 2 and 11 says, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. See, this surgeon, he don't have to lay a hand on you. Because he told us, I'm going to send the Spirit. Right? I'm going to send the Spirit. He says, in putting off the old body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who had raised him from the dead. See, what operation of God raised him from the dead? He put that Spirit in him. Once he put the Spirit of life in you, that's going to raise up your mortal body. That's the Spirit of God. That's the power there of God. It's not by might, not by power, but it's by his Spirit. That's the operation. If he placed that Spirit in you that got Christ up from the dead, that's the Spirit in you. Once that get in you, ain't no stopping then. It gives you eternal life, and it just grows and blossoms and bushes. That Spirit is something else. That Spirit will overtake you. That Spirit will have you saying things before you realize what you say. You need to get to that point where you allow the Spirit to lead you and guide you. So that's your operating motif. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word that God speaks, this word that's preached, see, because the power of life and death is in words. It says the words that God speaks is alive and full of power. It's full of power. It says making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. See, there's an effectual call of God that falls upon your life that transforms you. It gives you energy. It'll get you up out of bed in the morning. It'll get you on your knees. It'll get you to praying. It'll get you to study. It'll get you to treating your enemies right. It revitalizes you. It's just like drinking from a magnetic fountain that has every ion in your body positively charged. And you could want to just give somebody else that power. You want to share that power. I'm telling you, this circumcision, this operation, this surgery, you'll never die after you come out of this surgery. This surgery, one day you'll be able to pull off that old corruptible body. Because he didn't give you, he's a life-giving force. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Any scalpel, any laser, anything that they go in and do surgery with, the word of God is sharper than that. There's no power like that. But the power of God cannot be analyzed by mere man. There's so much power. See, there's no power in a nuclear bomb. See, God, nuclear power is no power to God. See, we're talking about there is no power. Jesus said, I got all power. Well, what power does talking about a nuclear bomb or anything else up against somebody that has all power? In other words, he has enough power to give you power. Is that what Jesus told Pilate? He said, do you know I have power to crucify you or let you go? He said, yeah, well, you wouldn't have no power unless it was given to you of God. See, when you get that frame of mind that you serving a God like that, you're not afraid of man. Telling you this servant, he'll cause you to rise to your feet and walk. That's what he does. It says, penetrating to the dividing line of breath, of life, soul, and of the immortal spirit, and of joints and of marrows. Now see, I like the Amplified there where it says immortal, but we know that when it says to the dividing of spirit and life, see, man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. So those that preach the doctrine of immortality or immortal life to you may be in error here. Because man wasn't created with eternal life. That's why in the garden he says, lest he shall eat of the tree of life and live in this condition forever. That's the reason he put Adam out of the garden. Because when we as a corporate body in Adam ate of the tree, the forbidden fruit, we all were appointed to death then. Death is dead. It ceased to exist. It is no longer living. So man has not a soul. Man became a soul. So if man is living, that means man is able to return to dust because the spirit goes back to him who gave it. And in the breath of life, it is God who gave you life. There's no life outside of God. And if you're outside of God, you don't have eternal life. That's why you can preach the doctrine that you shall die. That's why in the book of Ezekiel, you can stand up on God's word and say, right here in Ezekiel, it tells me that the soul that sent it, it shall die. The soul that sent it shall die. But that preacher, oh, you're in a burning fire in hell forever and this and that death. But it tells me the soul that sent it shall die. Even hell itself shall be cast into the lake of fire. You read Revelation, it says, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. See, that's why it says it's different levels of understanding. That was good enough, and that lasted through some ages and generations, but there are those, that's why there are different churches and different portions of Bible study that some people can operate on, and you have to realize whether you have childlike understanding or you have understanding that can operate at a doctor's theology. See, there are theologians out there, the study of God. But with some of us just reading a scripture or two a day, with some of us just coming to church on the weekend, that's the way you exist. That's probably the way God created you. And that's why you're content. And that's what you should learn, that God could place you in the body of Christ where he had created you to be placed. Your foot, your toe, your ear. But if it's the head, God set different rules and different standards. He gave the apostles a different standard the apostles had to do. There are different places in the body of Christ. That goes along with this understanding from God. Can you understand that? He hadn't made us all teachers. And James said, be not many masters or teachers. You didn't heard the old axiom or the old saying, it's too many chiefs and are not enough Indians. That's what we're having today. It's too many people preaching the word of God that God had not sent. He said, how can they preach unless they be sent? So, as we try to close this portion out, we'll take up the mark next week. But see, he's done made that surgery. He's done sealed that surgery up. He's going to open up your understanding where you can understand the scriptures. He's going to give you the power, what it needs to make it through this destruction to come. Because you may see your brother destroyed. You may see your spouse destroyed. You may see your children destroyed. You may see your parents destroyed. Joseph, you know, it hurt me to lose all my children. You can imagine that hurt. I've been to funerals and things where parents says, you know, it's not natural for a parent to bury his child. That's not natural, he says. That's a hurting feeling. Lord God. But see, let's trust in the God that says he'll never lay anything on us that we can't bear. He'll give us a strength. If it comes to that, we'll be able to stand over that coffin. We'll be able to stand up to friends or people who betrayed us or walked away. As Paul, I know it hurt Paul as a man that Demas had forsaken him. I have to do something in this upcoming week and tell some things to some different people or whatever. And it's hurtful things that I have to say or do. But see, God has to give you the power because he hadn't given you a spirit of timidity. And if you don't tell some people sometime what the Lord tell you to tell them, you're not worthy of that. That's why he don't lay that task upon some of us. Because you have to do as God say do. And if you don't, a dispensation of gospel will be counted unto you. Heavenly Father, we come before you this day.